and the changing isn't free. You read it in the tea leaves and the tracks are on TV. Beware the savage draw of 1984. They'll split your pretty cranium and fill it full of air and tell you that you're made here, but rather you won't care.
Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, April 19, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I would like to remind everyone RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable, and free speech is not something we can even expect to continue to exist without being funded by we, the people. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation cash, check, money order, payable to RBN. Mailing address 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And I do have with me a special guest joining us. Well, I also, of course, have a co-host, Stephen Douglas Whitener. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard, RBN fellow thought criminals. Thanks.
And Stephen, we have a returning special guest. Always look forward to these appearances. We have Jayant Bhandari back again with us. Hello, Jayant.
Richard, good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to have you back, sir. And as far as your specialty being economics, folks, for new listeners, describe Jayant is a globe-trotting institutional investment consultant. He's amassed extensive international experience in the mining and natural resource sector. He runs a yearly seminar in Vancouver as well, entitled Capitalism and Morality, and has published numerous interesting analyses on political, cultural, and social issues. But economically speaking, that the times we're headed into now, I mean, the inflation due to the money printing and there's plenty of blame, of course, that could be shifted, you know. So we can't really correct these people, stop it from continuing. We have COVID, we have this war, plenty of excuses that are available at this point. But yeah, the money printing and now, when you look at the future and the shortages of everything, the petrodollar situation with Russia resulting in less confidence in the U.S. dollar, more confidence in alternatives in every form, pretty much. I don't know, Jayant, what do you say to this about, will this really affect the living standards of Americans in this generation, you know, in the near future?
Well, Richard, you have pretty much explained the situation today. We have, at least not in my lifetime, not lived such an uncertain economic situation. Now, only two things that I might dispute with you about is the status of the U.S. dollar. The fact is that the U.S. dollar has done extremely well because despite that we live in an extremely uncertain world, in terms of currencies, U.S. dollar continues to be among the best currencies, we no longer have any excuses anymore. The economic situation around the world is extremely uncertain. What happens if the cargo ships from China stopped coming to the U.S. We consume a huge amount of stuff that originates in China. If that stops coming, we will have start having empty shops. We have this major problem to do with Ukraine and Russia, which is leading to a massive increase in commodity prices, and those increases will feed into inflation. We have, over the last 2 years, printed an enormous amount of fiat currency, and printing, of course, does not necessarily mean paper currency anymore. This is all even easier paper fiat currency, which is zeros and ones on the computer. So we have created an enormous amount of fiat currency. We have discouraged people from working. We have created massive ruptures in globalization. So we have to seek out our consumables and input within our local areas going forward. There are massive problems with spare parts supplies because in the just-in-time manufacturing system that we created, we trusted and believed that we would be able to supply spare parts overnight, which is no longer happening very easily. So if you add all these things together, you realize that the situation is actually very bad, and this Ukraine-Russian situation is not getting solved anytime soon, and that will have reverberations going into the future. And add to all that the fact that we have a massively woke-run institutions today. We have Biden, Harris, Trudeau, kind of very woke people who don't really understand the nitty-gritties of how the economics work, how the society should work. And these are only vote-chasing politicians. And add all these things together, we live in an extremely, extremely uncertain times today.
Stephen, do you have any initial questions on the economic front for Giant?
Well, what I had, the thought I had when you said these are just vote chasing politicians, they also are money laundering politicians through the Ukraine too. The level of corruption is just it's disgusting to see. And you know, once you factor that in too, it's no wonder that things are falling apart the way they are. I think maybe it's more that the petrodollar is losing its dominance as the reserve currency more than that it's a bad currency. It still may be among the best, but there was a time when that was the big club we swung, and those days seem to be over. Would you agree with that? And what do you think will happen? How will things progress? Do you think that China and Russia will form a different trading bloc, or what's the future hold, do you think?
So Stephen, I agree with you. These are vote-chasing people, and they are extremely corrupt. And there is no difference between the two things. Vote-chasing by itself is an extremely venal activity. It's a very corrupt activity. It's a very spineless activity. You make a commitment to the society, and then you don't deliver on it. And worse, you put the society on a wrong path just for your votes. Now, how much worse could the situation be? In fact, Stephen, when I was growing up in India, people would always talk about why bribery should be made legal, because bribery by itself is just the symptom of corruption. And if that becomes legal, at least hopefully other things should become more honest. Bribery is a small part of the total overall corruption we face. And now what we face is this whole woke, irrational, feral belief system that has emerged in the Western society and led by people like Kamala Harris and Trudeau. So I completely agree. There's a massive amount of corruption. And because these people don't have a spine, they will, of course, always engage in financial corruption as well. And I also agree with you that US dollar is losing its value. The only thing is, relative to other fiat currencies, it has done well. And I completely agree with you. These days are numbered for fiat currencies because they have printed so much of fiat currency. They have lost control of it. They promised that there wouldn't be any inflation. And now they can no longer control inflation. They continue to. Canada recently increased its basing interest rate by 0.5% point. Now, that's a massive increase in interest rate suddenly, and that might lead to a lot of problems with people who are indebted. And Canada is a very indebted society. So, yes, I completely agree. The fiat currency has gone completely wild, and we are in a completely uncharted territory right now.
I think I saw a very large interest rate in Argentina's central bank had put it to something, and I thought it was a misprint. Was it 47% for the rate? And that goes back to days when, you know, currencies were falling before. And shift from the fiat, from the petrodollar and fiat currency to real assets, do you think that's going to spike the price of gold too? Because I had heard that Russia said they pegged they didn't really back the ruble with gold, but they pegged its value some to so many grams of gold per ruble. What do you think that'll be more prevalent in the future? And along with that, I saw that France was returning all its sovereign gold too. It just seems like the West has shot itself in the foot by doing this and made the collapse of that much faster by allowing them to be prepared. I had heard that Joe Biden kind of telegraphed the intention of all these sanctions last July when he was with Putin, so they knew what would happen when the invasion was launched. If we do this, then these sanctions are coming, so they were prepared. And it just seems ridiculous. It's suicidal of the West to do this. It's just that's kind of the view. What do you think about that? Do you think that was just a mistake? A aspect of them being corrupt and stupid, as you say, or you know, was that part of their strategy overall?
I think I differ with a lot of people on this conspiracy theory. I don't think people like Harris and Trudeau are smart enough to sit down together to create a conspiracy to destroy the civilization. Now, Satan, evil are not necessarily organized people. They are just stupid, irrational people who are extremely materialistic, and they are there to please the masses to get the votes. Now, of course, what they do in active life is very similar across the board, because evil people, psychopaths, depend and survive and prosper, so-called prosper, by sucking the bloods of suckers. And masses are suckers in a democratic system. These leaders are chasing votes, and they are trying to please the masses by catering to the materialism of the masses. So unlike other people, I don't think there's a conspiracy theory behind it. But in isolation, Trudeau, Harris, Narendra Modi, Xi Jinping are pretty much doing exactly the same thing, which is to please the masses. And it looks like, for an outsiders, as if they are working together in consort to destroy society, but they aren't destroying the societies. They are just catering to their own selfish interests. However, the consequences are exactly the same as if there was a conspiracy theory. We are across the world, except I would say East Asia, going downhill very, very rapidly. We are going downhill in the Western society, and I see nothing to stop than that downward slippery slope move of the Western culture.
And as a combination, I mean, we have the death of meritocracy and all this critical race theory, anti-white doctrine, and then we have, like we say, the money printing, the inflation. Right now we hear, if it were calculated the way it was in 1980 or in the 70s, John Williams over at shadowstats.com says it's 17% officially right now, 17.15 to be exact. That's much worse than anything in the 70s. That overshadows anything since World War II. You know, that's the worst we've had, it, and they won't admit to all that. Well, so you don't think there's any? Go ahead, Giant.
Yeah, Richard, I completely agree with you. At the very foundations, the problem with our institutions is the death of meritocracy. And democracy by itself is an anti-meritocratic system because it is not the people who understand public policy or who understand how society should be run. It is not the people who are philosophers who are in majority in any society. And because they have the most influence on who becomes our political leaders, democracy by itself is an anti-meritocratic system. And we have actually, as time has gone by, taken on these very, very strange and corrupting and soulless concepts like diversity and ESG, which is environment, governance, and social. There's so much emphasis on diversity today that you go to an investment forum today, and I'm an investment analyst. I sit with a lot of companies. Among the first questions that are asked of these CEOs is, where is diversity in your board of directors? Why don't you have people of color in the board of directors? Why don't you have women in the board of directors? Now, Richard, the problem is that we are destroying meritocracy across the board. And my problem is that if I now come across, let's say, a black doctor, what is my first question today, Richard? My first question is, did this guy become a doctor because of his merit, or did he become a doctor because he was pushed through the system because of the color of the skin? And I don't want to think that way, but because of this emphasis on diversity, they are actually creating a very bigoted future for us. And of course, we can see segregation growing rapidly in the American society as a result of the emphasis on diversity. And a lot of this is anti-white male, more specifically. And this completely forgets that the reason we have a human civilization is because of the achievements of the white males of European ethnicities. Now, you look at all the scientific discoveries, all the technical advancements we have done, all the institutional and organizational capabilities and philosophical input that has come to the society. Virtually all of it has come from white males of European ethnicities. So when you are against meritocracy and when you are against white males of European ethnicities, what are you doing? You're trying to destroy the root that gives us these fabulous, tasty fruit. We will, you know, this fine apartments, fine houses, fine roads and infrastructure, airports, all the luxuries and prosperity that we see around us will disappear in this emphasis on expediency and virtue signaling that we have increasingly become accepted as a part of our culture. And we will forget, we will be on a very slippery ground thereafter, and we won't know how to find firm footing. And that's where we are today.
I'm afraid you're 100% correct, Giant. And yes, we have the same problem in the United States as in Europe, as in India. You see someone who is a person of color, a person who's dark-skinned, relatively dark-skinned, and yes, you wonder if this is an affirmative action hire rather than one placed there because of their qualifications being the best, you know, due to meritocracy. You're going to have, due to the critical race theory, anti-white in all forms, rhetoric being taught. It's in the schools. It's in the television and films, everything in the culture. Could we skip this break, please, Julie? Thank you. Much appreciated. And all of this in the culture, yes, it creates more divisiveness on both sides of the dark skinned and darker skinned and people of color, and of the whites, and of the lighter skinned, and the most light of the Indian people on the subcontinent, as well, for that matter. You shared an interesting article, somewhat related, with us to possibly touch on. This was republished, I suppose, over at ndtv.com. U.S. professor calls India feces hole, we'll just call it, as President Trump might say it a bit more elaborately. Indian Americans are slamming the remarks. A U.S. professor also said the Westerners have outgunned and outclassed the Asian Americans in every way. Leading Indian Americans, including U.S. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, have slammed a law professor from University of Pennsylvania for her disparaging comments about the Asian American community, with a specific disdain for Indian Americans. In a recent interview to Fox News, Professor Amy Wax from the University of Pennsylvania alleged that blacks, quote-unquote blacks, and quote-unquote non-Western groups have, quote, a tremendous amount of resentment and shame against Western people for their outsized achievements and contributions, unquote. Quote, here's the problem. They're taught that they are better than everybody else because they are Brahmin elites, and yet on some level, their country is a crap hole, unquote. Wax, who has a long history of inflammatory remarks, said. She also said that the Westerners have outgunned and outclassed the Asian Americans in every way. Quote, they've realized that we've outgunned and outclassed them in every way. They feel anger, they feel envy, they feel shame. It creates ingratitude of the most monstrous kind, unquote, she said. Wax then targeted the influential Indian American doctors community as well. Quote, they are on the reparts of the anti-racism initiative for, quote, dump on America, unquote. Close quotes, she alleged. The comment was condemned by the Indian Americans across the United States. After President Trump left office, I thought the days of calling others crap hole countries were over, she said in a tweet. He said in a tweet. That would be, as an Indian American immigrant, I'm disgusted to hear this University of Penn professor define Indian American immigrants and all non-white Americans in such insulting terms, he said. Stating the comments are born of hatred and fear, he emphasized that such talks make it much harder to accomplish common sense immigration reform. Comments like these are born of hatred and fear, and they lead to real harm for my constituents and our minority communities. They fuel hate crimes against minorities, and they make it much harder to accomplish common sense immigration reforms, Krishnamoorthy said. Indian American law professor Neil Makija also slammed Wax for her comments. Quote, it's irresponsible to use your position to lend credibility to these overtly racist sentiments that don't recognize Indian Americans for who we are, unquote, he told Axios. Indian American Impact is slated to hold a summit next month in D.C. Makita told Axios he's planned to adjust programming to discuss the incident and create solutions against anti-Asian and South Asian hate in educational settings. The most unfortunate thing is that we have a lot of brilliant and incredible students at the law school, he told NBC News. It makes you question whether she can fairly grade or educate, he said. This is not the time for Wax's controversial comments about race have gone viral, the U.S. media reported. Her appearance on Carlson's show is not the first time Wax has made anti-Asian remarks. In an interview in December, she said, Indian Americans should be more grateful to be in the U.S. and that the country would be better off with fewer Asians. Penn has confirmed the school is in the middle of disciplinary proceedings against Wax, NBC News reported. The University of Pennsylvania Carey Law School has previously made clear that Professor Wax's views do not reflect our values or practices. It quoted a representative as saying, in January 2022, Dean Ruger announced that he would move forward with a university faculty senate process to address Professor Wax's escalating conduct, and that process is underway, unquote. The report quoted the Penn representative as saying. And that's the full story as we have it. And well, yeah, you're not supposed to be able to voice your opinion, certainly if it's not politically correct, and they're calling it based in hate. So Giant, I don't know what you've been very critical of Indian culture. What is your initial response to this article?
Well, I have been following Dr. Amy Wax for a while now. I have listened to a lot of her interviews, and I did listen to bits and pieces of her discussion with Tucker Carlson. And I did not see a figment, nothing that showed insulting or hate towards Indians. What she was saying was a factual representation of the reality. And in fact, Richard, if I use the proper word, which is the word she used, the word was shithole. My first feeling is always that she does not really understand India properly. And the reason is that shithole is an understatement for the reality of India. I call India a bubbling, rotting shithole. And that is not just figuratively the case. That is actually literally the case. Half of the Indian population poops in the open. When you are on a train in India, anywhere in India, a country with a population of 1.4 billion people, what you see outside is people is squatting on the rail lines to poop. And they talk among themselves while they poop in socially. So that's the problem with India. You come out of the airplane and you will not be away from the smell of poop until the time you depart from India. So that is literally the problem with India, and that is only what you physically feel about India. But figuratively, that is also true. India is a shithole as a culture, and politically and socially, it's a shithole. The question everyone should ask, and all these Indian Americans should respond to, is why did they come to America? I mean, listen, Richard, it's not an easy job to leave your society, leave your family, leave your friends, and move to a country on the other side of the planet. So why did these people come to America? What if they are so proud of India? Why don't they buy a ticket and return back to India? And I think at least they would be walking their talk. I completely agree. Maybe I'm wrong about my understanding and assessment of India, but I am sitting in the US because I find India a shithole. If they find India such a lovely country, they should never have come to America, and they should at least be respectful enough and walk their talk and return back to India. Now, I see absolutely nothing racist or bigoted about what Dr. Amy Wax said. And Dr. Amy Wax is a Jew. She's not being racist here. And she's just talking factually about why these American Indians, who are among the most prosperous community in the U.S., who have benefited hugely from the U.S., bitch about America so much. Why do they want to destroy the underpinnings of the Western society to convert America into another India? So if you came to America to make it another India, why did you leave India in the first place? And this is the major problem. If you don't philosophically understand what Western society is all about, you think that by importing, bringing in your Sharia law, or bringing in your stupid cultural values, or bringing in your stupid oversensitivity, you would improve on the American culture. You are not going to improve on the Western culture. You will actually destroy it. You will convert it into another India. And that is exactly what these Indian American who are complaining about Dr. Amy Wax are doing.
Wow. No, that is well said. And there's so many good points there. We'll be back after the break, folks. Please stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with co-host Stephen Douglas Whitener and our special guest, once again with us, Jayant Bhandari. And Jayant, we have a couple callers on the line for you. Callers, these and any other callers, if you could please direct, you know, any questions to Jayant. And ideally on some of these topics, we have Patrick in Texas. Hey, thanks for calling, Patrick. Did you have any questions for Jayant, either on the economic or on the race and meritocracy topics, or what's on your mind?
Race, of course. Dr. David Duke was on there with John Stadtmiller's spot there, Michael Rivera's spot there. And he was saying that, yeah, you Christian identity folks, you're all wet, you know, there's 8 million-year-old, you know, skulls of obvious European features. And, yeah, okay, you're one of those, take that to archaeology, but there is more than enough, there's teams of archaeologists going through the Middle East who found that, indeed, they have found the lost tribes of Israel, and it's the Europeans. I would not even go into all that detail. So, you know, we're not all wet. Yeah, if you want to go archaeology, but it's And now, the significance of that is that there's a letter written from Pontius Pilate, which was the governor of Palestine, to Caesar. And it says he was giving a description of what he saw of Jesus. This, he has blonde hair, a blonde beard, and blue eyes, and I'm more afraid of him than of an army. And the people he's speaking with are black-haired and black-beard. And they are actually, because all of Israel has been cleared out and went into captivity. So the only ones there was the neighbors that came in because they replaced them. And so I'm just saying, now, one last thing. There's a leader of the Communist Party in 1920. It was entered into the Congressional Record, and it said that we will use the black childish and violent males to gather up all the white females, and we'll hold them as ransom, as leverage against the white people. And I'm not saying, but there are times when, it's like a meaner dog or something like that. They're great for like cattle, but they're not good for the milder things like sheep. They have a purpose, but you got to understand who you're dealing with. And okay. I'll let it go. Thank you.
All right. Well, Giant, do you want to comment on Patrick's call?
Well, I think what he basically said was that Jesus Christ was probably of European ethnicity. The voice wasn't very clear to me. There was a noise in the voice, but if that's what he meant, I'm not no historian. I have no understanding of what race Jesus Christ was of. And the fact remains, Richard, that there have been some very smart people who have come from African continent or from Asia. The only difference is that the proportion of smart people that have come from Africa or South Asia is minimal compared to the smart people that have come from the West European part of the world. And these are the people who have basically converted what was an animal called human being into human beings. The European people have converted a feral society into a civilization, and that is the contribution Western people have had on the world.
Oh, okay. We have next James in Vancouver. Hello, James.
Morning. Good morning. This all goes back to a fellow by the name of Samuel Phillips Huntington, who made a big name for himself on the Clash of Civilizations. I wonder if your guest is aware of this writer.
I am not sure, James, if I know the writer.
All right. Well, interestingly enough, Samuel P. Huntington was Fareed Zakaria's doctoral advisor. this situation of the clash of civilizations has been around for quite a while, and even Machiavelli alludes to it, that culture is perhaps the most powerful weapon that exists, because in order to conquer a nation, you have to absolutely get rid of its culture. And to do less than that will result in that culture overtaking you. For example, Hong Kong, and certain inroads that the British made in other countries, like India, of course, you see. And when you compare it with the ancient Romans, who I believe were far more brutal when they were taking control of certain areas, you see. So I think there is truth in your argument that the West, let's say, if this is your argument, and I think it might be, the West or the, what do you call them, the white people are losing ground, which, of course, had to happen because it's simply a question of time, and I look at the entropy. Entropy is always increasing, entropy being a measure of disorder. And So that was what I wanted to mention, see what you thought.
Well, James, just a few days back, there was a riot in Malmo in Sweden, and that was a fight between neo-Nazis of Sweden. And that is such an amazing, strange thing, because Sweden was one of the most peaceful and nicest countries on the planet. But there is now a blowback because of religious fundamentalists who have immigrated into Sweden. And in Malmo, and I have been to those areas in Malmo, there are now no-go zones of people who have religious fanatics who are not Christians, who have immigrated to Sweden, and they do not want white people to enter those areas. As a result, neo-Nazis have emerged in Sweden, and there is now going to be a blowback. And my guess is that the blowback will be very bad for these religious fundamentalists. They have asked for it, and they will get it. Now, The fuller truth is that you do not want to have a multicultural, ethnically diverse society. It has never worked in the world. Now, I personally would love to have that. I would love to have people of different opinions sitting together and living in a society together. But most people are tribal by nature. They like to associate with other based on the color of his skin or religion or the language of people that they want to interact with. So given that that is what most people, that's how most people think, you have to understand that diverse multi-ethnic societies don't work. And that is a perennial problem with a country, the shithole called India. India is a very ethnically diverse country, and there is no solution ever going to be found of that society. And that is why America has a huge problem, because America is now closer to 50% non-European. And this means that there will be no solution to this tribal ethnic problem that to do with America. Once prosperity has, once economic growth has stagnated, and once prosperity starts disappearing, America will have massive civil problems, because you can't really patch up anymore in a multi-ethnic society. Now, if you were a mono-ethnic society, and if your economic growth is stagnates, or if your progress, if you wealth-wise you deteriorate, there is limited problems you have, because there is no one to blame. But in a worsening economic situation, certain groups will always be found to be the guinea pigs. They would be given the blame for all that goes wrong. And that is what is I see as the future of America. Now, James, I'm a Canadian citizen. I used to live in Vancouver. Vancouver has the same problem. About 25% of Canadians are first-generation immigrants. Now, that's an outrageous figure. 25% of Canadians with Canadian passports were not born in Canada, which means that about 50% of Canadians are either first generation or second generation Canadians who don't speak the language with the local accent, who are not fluent in the language, and who aren't really fully attached to the Western culture. Now, once you have a 50% of society that is not fully attached to the culture, your culture is pretty much gone. The only good thing with Canada is that a lot of immigrants that have come to Canada are so-called educated immigrants. So that might be slightly beneficial for Canada in the long run, but Canada piggybacks on the U.S. anyway. But overall, I think these multi-ethnic societies are a disaster in the future, and that's how at least the U.S. has done harakiri. It's an you can't undo this problem anymore.
Okay, well, thank you for your call, James.
Right. Okay, talk to you later. Bye. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And Pat in Texas. Hello, thank you for calling. What's on your mind? I have a question for Giant.
Hi. I just wanted to say that one of our best patriots over here is Indian, Denise D'Souza. He came over as an exchange student, and he stayed, and he has fought harder than anybody over here for this country that I know of, come up against Hillary Clinton and all of those people. My question is, why do you think right now that India is joining all the communist nations right now? Putin and China and all of them right now. Why is India joining them? Hindu?
Sorry, Richard, did I understand the question, which was that why is India joining with the communist nations? Is that what Pat asked?
Yes, and she's referring to the communist nations as including Russia and China.
Okay, So Pat, the reality is that I completely agree with you on your comment to do with Dinesh. I feel proud of people like Dinesh. I feel proud of Indians who accept the Western society. And by staying in the Western society, they respect and have gratitude for the Western society rather than whine and live with a victimhood mentality in the Western society. So I completely agree with you on your comment to do with Dinesh. Now, why is India on the side of people that, let's say, in the Russian-Ukrainian war, why is India favoring Russia? The truth is that India is an amoral society, which means that India has no concept of moral values. It's a feral, pre-modern society with the facade of modernity imposed by Hollywood and perhaps because of European colonizers and missionaries. European colonizers and missionaries dressed them up. They built roads and infrastructure in India. And because they dress up the same way as you do, you might think that India has become come to modernity. No, it hasn't. India is an extremely feral and backward society. It has no moral fabric. And you see this lack of moral fabric in your day-to-day interactions with Indians. In fact, you see it on a second-to-second interactions with Indians. You can't escape it. It's a moment-to-moment situation that you face in India. There's no moral fabric. People have no honor. There is a complete lack of honesty in that country. And people have no moral courage at all because they are amoral people. They are driven by might is right expediency. So India as a society will go with whosoever is immediately expedient for its own interests.
Well, that's because it's too Hindu, daggone it. There's a good a prophet over here. His name is Sandar Salveres, and he wears orange, so he'll look like a Hindu, I guess. But man, he really hears God, and he's a really good man. And that's the whole problem, you know, I think, is that Hindus are about as bad as anybody. Don't want to cut your head off. So,
well, thank
you.
I have another call. Appreciate it, Pat. Thank you for your call. We have Lark in Texas, and this is a host at RBN. Lark in Texas, did you have anything to direct at our guest, Indian economist Jayant Bhandari?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I first of all would like to laud your guest because I think he's a voice for sanity, and so I'm pleased that he's on today with the two of y'all. I want to augment his remarks regarding meritocracy. I think it's important for the listeners to realize where this comes from, at least in the present time. And I think if you begin by doing a search, a keyword search on the internet with simply the words Michael Sandel, S-A-N-D-E-L, Michael Sandel, meritocracy. Michael Sandel is a leading communitarian thinker and a longtime professor at Harvard University. And he joins the ranks with people like Alistair MacIntyre from Notre Dame, Charles Taylor, McGill University up in Canada, Michael Walzer, Robert Putnam, a whole long line of communitarian thinkers. We need to harken back and remember that this idea of tying together a new system, I like the way it's termed, the new underworld order. instead of the New World Order. We need to remember that the words bank, bench, and bar are inextricably entwined. And so I just want to quote these two items, and I'll leave y'all with this. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. And this is from one David Spangler, the director of Planetary Initiative, United Nations. Secondly, generally, more highly educated people who have higher incomes consume more resources than poorly educated people who tend to have lower incomes. In this case, more education increases the threat to sustainability. And that would be from the Education for Sustainable Development Toolkit, Volume 2 from 2002. And in support of James's remarks, I want to point out that you can still read from 1996 on the internet from, I believe, Salon Magazine. Just type in the words, the ABCs of communitarianism. And that, gentlemen, is the reality of our times. We're not discussing the true enemy within. Yes, there is such a thing as democide. If you want to take over the world, you need a lot of partners in crime. And so how do you do it? Okay, you have to ask yourself this question. But before there was democide, before it could happen, then first menticide had to take hold of our minds. And whereas we say big oil took over the world, well, now I can safely say big tech has taken over the world. And from where I live, in my neck of the woods, near Texas Instruments, and that big tech corridor, most of the people I've met from India who are highly educated, they come over here and they bring their whole families. And they're offered up positions in the tech world with obscenely high salaries, perquisites and benefits and the like. And that's why within about 5 miles from where I live, there are more than 50 languages being spoken. And so when I see what's happening to America, I see that America has been conquered. I think Canada has been conquered. And it's the people that are the most highly educated, well-born, well-to-do amongst us who are actually leading the charge. Because even John Maynard Keynes said in an address at Harvard post-World War II, he said that the Marxian socialist had it wrong. But the Fabian socialist had it right. Instead of appealing to the wage slave and the laboring class, the Fabians decided that they would make their pitch, their appeal to the sons and daughters of the prominent and well-to-do, the trust fund babies, the people that had real clout because they had access to resources and they had lots of time on their hands, okay, because they didn't have to worry about where their next meal was coming from or keeping a roof over their head. And this is how they've been able to ride herd on the masses. But yeah, all these people that we lionize and look up to in our world today, these are the wolves in sheep's clothing. Thank you, guys.
All right, well, do you want to comment on Lark's call, Giant?
Well, thanks, Lark, for your kind words. Lark, I agree with you. I think a lot of people say that they have nothing against immigration as long as you bring in competent, skilled people to the country. And I'm completely against that. I think the worst people tend to be the so-called very educated, urbanized people. Because when you bring those people in, you bring them in for the skills they have. You don't necessarily bring them in for the values, the moral fabric that they have. And because you don't bring them for moral values, these people actually tend to be very materialistic, career conscious, and money-minded people. They might look good in the short term because they are among the highest paid people and you might think they are very smart people. But look at what's happening in Google and what's happening with Twitter. The head of the censorship office at Twitter is an Indian female. Indian American female who actually talks about how KKK used to knock her door, her parents' house in the past. Now, I have never heard from anyone having faced that situation, but that's what she claims she and her family faced in Texas. Look at Google. The CEO of Google is an Indian, and what you see is that organization is slowly getting infused with wokeism and federalism. And because of the political correctness that these kind of people infuse these organizations into, you are setting a tone for the future culture of America. So I agree with you that you have to be very careful about who you bring in to the U.S., including when you bring in very highly educated people.
Yes, these people don't integrate to the culture. Go ahead, Lark.
Oh, please, I'm sorry. I just wanted to add that if anybody is confused about this ism word called communitarianism, just know that it is really just synonymous with totalitarianism. It's simply a particular flavor of totalitarianism, and that even has its own lexicon and everything else. And the people, because they will not discuss the topic, they're going to continue to be mired in the miasma of confusion, and they will continue to become victims. You know, these people that are leading the charge, they are actually some of the most brainwashed people amongst us. And it started in universities.
And I was just going to add that with the lack of willingness to integrate into this culture, like you mentioned, these high-paid people from other countries, this multiculturalism has everyone bring their own culture and crowd out the native culture, ultimately.
We have neighbors in my neck of the woods, neighborhoods, where, you know, large pockets where you would think you were in Little Mexico. And then the more affluent suburban areas, for example, Plano, Frisco, and Richardson, here in North Central Texas, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, these Muslim people and Hindu people, they bring their own cultures with them. And so on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, when they're out and about doing their shopping and the like, I mean, you would think that you were not in America anymore. Right. By their dress.
Well, we're just about out of time. Thank you for your call. Giant, any last words? Look forward to having you again next month, if you can, sir.
The only thing, Richard, I can say is that we talked about Sri Lanka a couple of months back, and look at what's happening in Sri Lanka these days. The third world is falling apart.
Yes, sir. A good point to end on. Thank you so much. Let's look forward to having you again soon. And everyone, check out Giant's website, giantbandari.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Giant. And thank you, Stephen, as well, as always.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks, Giant.
Thanks, Stephen.
And everyone, that's giantbandari.com.
You can also find him on YouTube.
And please support RBN, folks. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.